I see, by the way, on our, if you're not, you're not seeing us this morning on the webcam, and this is because of an upgrade. And an upgrade, in other words, I mean they're doing the studio up. And upgrades are in the news this morning, Conor, for another more important reason.
That's right, Cathal, because Standard & Poor's, the ratings agency, has actually upgraded its outlook on Ireland, not its core credit rating, from negative to stable. That's as a result of the promissory note swap deal. It's saying that that paves a way back to the markets and should see the sustainability of Irish government debt improved, certainly over the medium term, and enable the government, or help the government, to close the budget deficit more quickly than otherwise would have been the case. Some breaking news in the past few minutes. The scandal hit British bank Barclays, saying today that its pre-tax profit down to £246 million last year from £5.9 billion in 2011. The bank also saying it's going to cut 3,700 jobs across the business, following the likes of UBS Bank here, and cutting back positions in areas such as investment banking, where Barclays will axe 1,800 positions. It's also saying it'll cut 1,900 in retail and business banking. Barclays has investment banking, business banking and wealth management operations here. No word from the company, though, as to the impact of those job losses. A spokesperson said there was no detail at this stage as to geographically where the job losses would fall. US companies, including Apple, Google and Microsoft, have an estimated $1.7 trillion in cash sitting outside the US due to profit generated in their overseas operations in places such as Ireland. For tax reasons, that money has not been repatriated to the US, but the treasure trove has become both a political issue in the US and a bone of contention for shareholders. The hedge fund manager David Einhorn, for example, has initiated legal action against Apple in an attempt to force it to distribute some of its $137 billion cash pile to its owners. Brian Keegan is tax director with Chartered Accountants Ireland. Brian, what's the nub of this issue here for these US companies?
I think the nub of the issue is the way the US organises the way it taxes its companies. We're used as income taxpayers to paying our income tax immediately and paying it where we earn it. US corporation tax doesn't work that way. A US company will be taxed on its income, whether that income is earned either in Baltimore in Maryland or in Baltimore in West Cork. And what happens then is that if the income is earned in Baltimore and West Cork, let's say, Irish corporation tax is paid in it. And then when the money is remitted back into the US, it then becomes subject to US corporation tax. So it's known as a deferral. If a company which is US based is manufacturing or trading overseas, it pays its US corporation tax when the money is brought back into the US, not when it's actually earned overseas. And this would seem to be the nub of the issue.
This became something of an election issue as well in the US because of the, I suppose, the sheer amount of cash that's sitting out there that the top sort of Fortune 500 companies in the US would have. In the past, we saw President Bush introduce, I was calling it an amnesty, although that's not perhaps the technically correct term for it, to enable companies to bring their money back into the US without taking that tax hit. Is that something you think is in any way likely in the future?
Well, let's be clear about this. The US arrangement is a US tax incentive for its multinationals to do well abroad. And we tend to confuse our own low rate of corporation tax with some kind of, you know, tax avoidance or Ireland being a tax haven. That's not the case. What we're actually doing is we're facilitating US arrangements so their companies can do well. Back in 2004...
Because the point has often been made that this thing, that the double Irish, which a lot of companies take advantage of, exists actually because of a loophole in US tax law. It's nothing to do with us.
That's precisely the point. And, you know, the double Irish could just as well be known as the double Dutch, because exactly the same structure can be set up in relation to Holland. It could be set up in relation to the UK. And unfortunately, some of the commentariat here and some of our academics have taken it upon themselves to describe us as a tax haven when we're not. We're in actual fact cooperating with the US authorities in marshalling their own tax incentives for their own companies. So, you know, we shouldn't get hit for playing by the rules. From the US point of view, they, back in 2004, introduced in 2005 a temporary arrangement whereby companies could bring back some of the profits and not have them fully subject to US corporation tax, provided those profits were reinvested in the US. Now, Congress did a report on this only last year, and they found that while the incentive to bring back the money was very, very effective, and the money that came back increased sevenfold in 2005, that money didn't appear to get reinvested into the US economy. So is this something the US will do again? It may be so. It may be done for political reasons, but the track record is that it wasn't terribly successful the last time it did it.
And perhaps showing the extent to which Ireland is dependent on US investment, that actually had a notifiable or noticeable impact on Irish GDP in that year. Thanks for that, Brian Keegan, Tax Director of Chartered Accountants Ireland. Currency news this morning, the euro trading at $1.30 3.9 and 85 and a half pence sterling.